participate in the heavenly nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to your goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to stop there. The rest you can read. It's funny how certain songs just kind of jump out. And this song that we were singing, see where it goes here. Lost it. Where'd it go? One at the beginning. Blessed be your name. That song, there it comes, goes, where your streams of abundance flow, it goes, and blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, and all as it should be, and blessed be your name on a road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. How well do you pass that test? Blessed be your name on a road marked with suffering. The only way we can find out if you pass that test is to test it. Anyone want to volunteer this week to have a week filled with suffering so that we can find out if you survive the week and you actually celebrate and you praise God at the end of it? You understand? Those words in that song are kind of easy to sing, and they're, you know, kind of that catchy music and everything that kind of brings it together. But the reality is that that song and that concept of do I still bless the name of God in the road marked with suffering, or do I exercise a different set of attitudes and feelings? It's easier for me to bless the Lord when things are going well and my life's great and people are supportive and everyone seems to be going my way and I seem to be doing well. It's much more difficult when I feel life on either the right or left being pulled out from under me. And those kind of concepts also put immense pressure on my feeling, attitude, behavior, and sometimes, unfortunately, even my response to God. And so when we read this next word, this exercise of add to self-control, perseverance, this concept of patience, cheerful endurance, you kind of go, oh my goodness, is that really what's required? And remember, we're talking about the fact God wants to manifest His glorious power in every area of my life. The first three verses that I read to you there, His divine power has given us everything so that we can participate in the divine nature, so that we can manifest actions and attitudes that are similar or exactly the same as Christ Himself manifested, so that in the middle of circumstances that would seem to bleed us out and pour us down, instead we are lifted up. Instead we enter into the circumstance with a different kind of attitude, a different sense of commitment, a different sense of faithfulness. And so this word, even though it's very small in terms of this concept of persevering, or literally cheerful enduring, which is really what the word means, you have to understand how critical that is. Now, I'd like to ask the children to come down. Oh, no, you wait. So you understand cheerful enduring is not easy. Is it, children? You see, sometimes it's easy to say the word. It's hard to do because, you know, I may forget to bring you down and bring you up front here. And you have to cheerfully endure while you wait for the pastor to figure out if he's going to bring you down front today. When was your testimony of cheerful endurance? I got the endurance part. I have to try and think of the cheerful part. Okay? I know, I kind of get done and I go, wow, God, you carried me through that. And I always go, I don't know why you did it, because I was a whiner. Are you guys whiners once in a while? I was a complainer. I was a feeling sorry for my kids. Feeling sorry for yourselves yet? Oh, and I got a candy bar today. It looks really good. Maybe if I forget, I can eat them myself. Of course, you can tell I don't need any of them. You understand? God, you don't get it. You don't know how bad it is down here. You don't understand what all my life is going. You don't understand how difficult. I mean, I can tell God he's wrong. Have you ever done that one? By goodness, I'm smarter than you, God. You get into those attitudes, and rather than cheerful endurance, you're enduring because you haven't got any choice. You're going to go through this broken arm, broken leg. You're going to go through this calamity, catastrophe, or whatever the situation is. My son had a leak in his second floor in the new house he just moved into. And you know what second floor leaks do to the first floor if you live in a two-story home. And so went over there and I'm looking at the first floor, and it's an old home. And it's got the old plaster. And I'm old enough to know what that means. Some of you youngins have no idea. But I know what that means to plaster. And I'm going, oh. Cheerful endurance. Have you had situations where you really have to be challenged? Because you have to understand something. There is a process. There is a side of God that talks about, I want you to exercise self-control, only I want it exercised over an extended period of time. It's one thing to exercise self-control. It's much more difficult to extend it over a period of time, which is what the word patience implies. Here it says, not only do I want these qualities in you, but I want you to maintain them, even though that plaster is going to have to be torn down. And it's going to come down, and it's not going to stay up there the way it should. And it will take a while, because he didn't believe me at first. But you understand, you have to understand this concept of self-control. That's not in a single moment of time. That's self-control and the exercise of this cheerful endurance, this patience, this work that God wants to do in me. It goes on and on and on. And I want to shout. I want to cry. And it goes on. And kids, are you ready? Now you get to come down. Good morning, good morning. Come on down. Come on. Here we go. Did I make you wait for children's sermon? Did you notice that? When you're waiting, what did you have to be inside of you? Patient. Well done. High five there. Well done. All right. All right. So, can someone please tell me what the word patience means? Because I don't know what to do with it. What does patience mean? Patience. Yeah. Waiting. Well, it certainly seems to include waiting. You ever had to wait for your mom and dad and you're waiting in the car and you're waiting? Are you patient out there or are you impatient sometimes? A little bit of each? Me too. Me too. What is patience? Yes. Waiting for somebody to hurry up. That's not a bad definition, is it? All right? From a kid's perspective, that is definitely accurate, okay? What are you doing? We're just waiting for my mom to hurry up. Or if dad's the talk, we're just waiting for dad to hurry up. That's not a bad start. Have you ever had to wait, but you're going... You ever done that? I don't know if you make all those noises. Do you roll your eyes? You go, Oh, she's good roll there. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Rolling your eye. Now, here's what I want you to understand about patience. Being patient means waiting, but being kind. Do you understand? If mom's talking, you don't run up and grab her arm and pull her out the church. If something's happening and it's taking a little bit of time, being patient, the way God wants us to learn patience, is we're patient with a kindness in our heart. So that if you're playing, I'm patient with you, and if I'm your dad, I'll go, all right, I'll give you 2 more minutes, but then we have to go. We have to go, but I'm kind enough to give you 2 more minutes. You understand? I want you to remember patience isn't just waiting. It's waiting with kindness. So you guys get to go back to your seats. Well, you have to be kind because you got to wait.
I was waiting.
I know. Yeah. Oh, well, wait. What was so unkind? What were you waiting for?
A tree.
Oh, good. You can wait. That's good. Go on back. I'll call you in a minute, maybe. Oh, man, these look really good. Yeah. I'm going to get killed by it later, I know. You guys know I put my life at risk when I disappoint the kids. Being patient with kindness, being patient with long-suffering, being patient with a gentleness, being patient with a pleasant, cheerful spirit. Enduring. God isn't simply looking for you to grit your teeth like most of the time I do, like this. That is no testimony at all. That's no witness. You have nothing to share, and you haven't got the presence of the Holy Spirit working in you in that particular area, because He's not encouraging you to grit your teeth. He's not encouraging you to get and develop that face. He's instead calling you into this patient endurance, this cheerful endurance, not because of the circumstance. Kids, it's tough when you're looking for the treat and the pastor didn't give it to you, isn't it? It's tough when you want something to happen and it's not happening. Here's what you have to trust in. You got to trust that God is working in the middle of the situation. Your cheerful endurance rests not on the event, not on what you're dealing with, not even on the pain or the difficulty that you're going through. Your cheerful endurance rests on, God, you got something for me to learn, don't you? I remember listening to a really good psychologist who was explaining the difference between an optimist and a pessimist. And he said he had 2 boys. They were twins. And one was an optimist and one was a pessimist. And he said what he tried to do is he gave one boy, the pessimist, a pony. He gave him a big place and a room, and a boy could play with the pony. And the boy looked at the pony and say, just one pony? Don't you have anything else? Is this it? And in the other, he put the other boy and he filled the room up with manure. And in the pile of manure, he stuck his head in back a little while later as the boy's in there, just throwing handfuls of manure all over the place, shouting, you can't fool me. Where there's manure, there's pony. And I laughed at that just like you. But you understand how different our testimony can be as we're going through the challenges of life. How many times did you watch your parents going through the challenges of their lives? How many times did you wish they would go through them a little differently? How many times did you see instead a shortness of temper, a lack of cheerful patience, and an unwillingness to be kind? You kids ready? Come get your treat. You did very good. And would someone take some and give some to Mr. and Mrs. Stone for me too?
Yeah, I will.
Here we go. I'll get that last one out there. Here, hon. And let me get some more. I got plenty. I just take a second. I didn't wrap them or open them up. I ate most of them, yeah. Boy, these kids are brutal. I don't know where they're getting it from. There you go, honey. There's more. There's more. There you go. Here we go. Who didn't get one? There you go, hon. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, would you be my delivery man then? You know who Mr. and Mrs. Thone are now? Mark smiled and said he didn't want any, but I know him better. Oh, you got his already. Well, give one to your dad. He did a good talk today. Your confidence is not in your lack of what you're looking for in your empty hand. Your confidence is trust in the person who's controlling the candy bar. That his purposes are actually good, and that patience is a thing you may need to practice and learn even as a young child. And you trust that one moment at the right time, the pastor will call us up and place in our hands the treat that he normally offers us. And so your confidence is not in what you lack. It's not even building up a lot of juice so you can feel good about it. It's that I endure cheerfully because I know who is running my life, because I know who I belong to, because I know the person who has called me to cheerful endurance. I have given you what you need. There is something going on bigger than you can possibly see at this particular moment, than you can possibly understand. You have to understand, as you go through pain, difficulty, even as a little child had to go through waiting to find out if they were going to get that treat or at the end of that time or how it was going to go, there was emotion, feeling, and attitude all being practiced and learned. And in the middle of that moment, when they finally have to multiply times 10 or 100 or 1,000 or 10,000, you begin to understand. I remember when Pastor said we had to wait. And cheerful endurance means that we learn to trust that in our case, God, or in their case, the pastor, was going to come through and give us that treat that we longed for. And so you begin to understand when God calls us into this self-control, he calls us into this walk, he's empowering us not just to have a moment, but to be able to sustain it moment by moment and breath by breath, not because it's easy to sustain, not even because we're necessarily seeing that person change right away or that event change, but because we are trusting in our God. And God looks at you and says, do you understand? This is always the issue with me. I want you to trust me. Whether it's bringing a child a candy bar or whether it's something more significant. I want to trust in you so that I know I can rely on you. These tests, these examples, are not meant to frustrate us or kill us or anything else. They're meant to say, I will stand with God. I will do that with confidence. And I won't go back to my seat frustrated. And I will not choose that path because I know who my God is. That becomes that opportunity for testimony. It becomes the purpose of what I pray about. It becomes the focus of everything that I am. Lord, I'm trusting that in the circumstance I'm in. I'm trusting even for my son or daughter, as we finally found that leak, by the way. That you're in control. And that sometimes the lesson to be learned has nothing to do with the particular event itself. So after I had given him this fatherly counsel and advice, I said, well, here, we'll do this, we'll do that. We went up to his bathroom, and it was under his tub. And we got the wood off, the few boards right where the water goes down and the drain goes down, that wood floor under that spot. And we came to a trap that had a loose cover. I said, I think that's it. We put plumbing tape on it, tightened that sucker back down, filled the tub out, and it works perfect. See, it isn't always about the difficulty. It's about an attitude you maintain through the difficulty. There is so much more that God wants to pour into my life. If I don't have the maturity, if I don't have the balance, if I don't have the character that it takes to suffer with a small thing, how in the world can He possibly put a greater thing into my life, not in terms of suffering, just in terms of ministry, just in terms of outreach, if He knows that the moment I get a little bit off, I'm going to be wandering back and forth, complaining and whining and pouting about God doesn't care about me anymore. If He's calling me into a service or a ministry or an opportunity to reach someone, but it's going to require a great deal of patience, the exercise of what I'm going through now is simply a preparation, like exercise before you play the football game or exercise in any other thing, because God wants me to persevere. Part of the reason God isn't able to bless His church the way He wants to is He can't find people that are seeking after these things. Lord, teach me to persevere. Teach me cheerful endurance. Teach me to praise You in all circumstances. That's where we go to next in terms of the godliness. And you go, teach me, Lord, what You want me to learn. Because it changes me. It changes how I talk about difficulty. It changes how I react to life. It changes how I deal with my children. It changes how I deal with disappointments and frustrations and everything else. And so God whispers to you, child, I am not hurting you. It may hurt, but I'm not hurting you. I want you to endure. I have more for you. Not more pain, not just pain, but the ability to approach an attack and solve a problem with quiet calmness. With an attitude that takes you in the middle of a difficult situation and you're filled with the balance of, I know who my God is. And as I go into this situation, I know that I can continue to trust Him. He has tested that and it has become something that's part of my character, part of who I am. So that not only do I exercise this self-control, this fighting and standing against sinfulness in my own life, but I begin to exercise this cheerful endurance as I deal with circumstances I can't change or people I can't change or things that are going to put pressure on me. So many times we're worrying and frustrated and angry at things that never come about. I many times write down all of my kids' prayer requests in a ring folder that we keep accurate records, and then I'll go at the end of the week, all right, raise your hand. I'll say, Sue, was this one fulfilled? Was that one fulfilled? And I'll call out the kid and I'll say, did that one get fulfilled? And they go, yeah. How about that one? Yeah. And you begin to understand there are so many things God's blessing us with. His purpose is different than we can possibly understand. And so in the middle of the challenge of our life, when we start going through this lift, God is calling you and me for this cheerful endurance. This ability to hang in there and bear up and through that particular circumstance. Wherever God has you in that circumstance, say, Lord, I know who You are. I am trusting in You, and I'm going to surrender this thing into Your hands. Pray with me. Lord, endurance. We are like people that get too quickly winded. So, Lord, we're calling for that level of endurance You want to train us up into to start taking place. We're calling that You would continue to raise faithful men and women. We're praying that You would continue to raise up godly young men and children and young women and just bring that blessing over all people in this fellowship. So whether our patience is related to a candy bar or our patience is related to a healing, or even related to something that's not going to get healed, that right in the middle of that, Lord, You are accomplishing Your purposes. Come bring Your blessing on us all, Lord. Come bring Your grace and fill us. Teach us, Lord, the preciousness of who we are and help us to accept You as the tender leader that You really are. We pray this in Your name. Amen. As the offering is received, we pray God's blessing in that area of your life.